It is good to be with God today. It's good to be in His presence, and it's good to be in the house of God. Guys, we're going to talk about God builds the house. This is what we're going to talk about today. I believe that the Lord wants to remind us that He builds the house, and He's been doing it successfully for the last 8 years for us, and He's been doing it successfully for the last 2,000 years since Jesus on the cross, and everything has happened since. And I want to read a psalm today. It's from Psalm 127, and I was chatting to some of the guys recently, just the other week, and they're saying, oh, I can't remember what the message was. I was like, you know what you should do? Take notes. So if you're struggling to remember the message, take notes. I give you full permission to do it. But here's what it says. Psalm 127, verse 1. Very famous scripture. You probably can quote it off by heart. We're going to look at it for a few moments today. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, guards stand watch in vain. Incredible verse with a promise and a warning. If you try to do it in your own strength, it's probably not going to happen the way you'd like it to, or you'll end up exhausted. But if you trust God, you might find He does it way better than you. A few years ago, back in 2007, I got the opportunity to build my house. What a wonderful opportunity. Now, the good news was this. I had an idea, but I trusted the architect. And I like the idea of building, but I paid some builders. Amen, praise the Lord. Because there are just some things that you can do, and there's other things that somebody else can do better. And the one thing I discovered with DIY or having to go at things, whether it be painting or fixing, me and Dad worked in wardrobes yesterday. We successfully completed the job, praise the Lord. But what I discovered is this, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. And this is what Psalm 127 is all about. Just because you can build your life, you shouldn't. Just because you can do everything you want to do in your life, you should not. And we're not just talking about sin, are we? We're talking about every aspect of our lives. The psalmist wrote Psalm 127, if you build it in your own strength, not going to work out the way you hope for. But if you allow God to take the lead, it will become better than you ever imagined. And so my question is this. Anyone ever build anything? When was the last time you built something? Usually around Christmas time. Maybe you bought something. Maybe you're buying something and coming up recently in the future, and you're going to have to attempt to build it. The guys were buying some stuff the other week, and they built it successfully. We find there was some broken pieces, but we got there in the end. Building is fun. But again, God says, I want to take the lead. Because if I don't take the lead, you could find yourself working in vain. And if we look at that word vain, what it simply means is this, emptiness, just like pointlessness, wastefulness. It's like you put in all this effort and you think you've got everything that you needed and wanted, and then suddenly it's empty. Ever had that where you worked really hard and then taken away? It's just like, what, really? It's like I worked really, really hard and then rug from underneath me. And then suddenly I didn't have it. And God's saying today, here's the right order. Unless I build the house, the laborers labor in vain. Or the builders build in vain. Incredible, wonderful promise that if you trust God, He's going to do it. And I think what the psalmist is trying to get us to think about, and maybe for all of us today, is that we've got to keep our eyes on the prize. This is what Paul spoke about in the New Testament. He said, all my achievements, I consider them useless for the knowledge of knowing Jesus. All my achievements, all the things I have achieved, all the things I have done, I just consider them all rubbish now for the knowledge of Jesus. And I think it's for us in 2023, 8 years into this whole thing, God has built this house strong. And when I say this house, I mean each one of us. And maybe today this is your first day. Well then, welcome to the house. Welcome to the family. Maybe you'll be back next week, or maybe you'll be at another house. We bless you. Here's the good news. We're all working for the King. It doesn't really matter where you go. Just be somewhere. Be connected to the body. Be part of what the Lord is doing and grow in the kingdom of God, because your gifts are important. And the things that you have to offer are unique, and you must bring them. And so today, God is building His house. He's building His house, and He's building me and you. And He's saying, trust me, I've got a good plan. Your plans may be okay and may even be good, but it's my way. Amen? And if you trust me, watch what's going to happen. You're going to be fruitful, going to multiply, going to increase, going to see overcoming, going to see the things that we plan for and the things that God dreamt of. And after 8 years, we've seen it. Incredible things. And my challenge today for you, just as we're starting, is what about your life? What about when you think about your life? Maybe this last 8 years. Maybe you haven't been with God that long. Maybe this last year. What about your life? When you think about it, what can you see that God has done? I think one of the greatest, I guess, missed opportunities that we have, because life changes so quickly, is that it's very hard for us to ponder and think about, wow, how good was yesterday? Like, how good was the day before? And even if it wasn't all that I planned for, wasn't God still faithful? Didn't I make it through? Because if I didn't, I wouldn't be here to think about it. Isn't God so good and so kind even in the difficult seasons? Because even when I'm unsure, he's got confidence and boldness for me. And I just want to say to us today that we have to keep our trust in Jesus, because if we don't, we will find ourselves putting our trust in ourselves, which will be usually flawed, or somebody else, and they will fundamentally always let us down. So when you take a minute, what do you think about? When you take a minute, what can you realize in your life of the goodness that God has done? It's time to focus on that. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves focusing on all the stuff that didn't quite happen or all the things that went wrong. But he has been faithful. Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. So it's worth celebrating. Here's a challenge for our hearts, is that, Lord, you've done so much already. You've been so faithful already. The challenge is this: can we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus so that we can see the best yet to come? Can we keep our eyes fixed on him? So even though we've accumulated some things, we're talking to some of the guys last night, and I was saying, guys, 1920, unfortunately, I've just turned 40. I know it's not good, but just turned 40. And they were 19 and 20. And I said, guys, you know what you're going to realize? Is that you are just going to accumulate stuff in life, and you're going to wonder, how did it even get there? Well, who put it there? How did it get there? And we're going to accumulate all of these different things. And some will be good, and some will be bad, and some will have been intentionally there, and some will just figure out, how did that even get there? And all of it wants to get in the way sometimes so that we take our gaze off Jesus. We start to go, well, I think I'm good now. You know, I think I've got it all figured out. Yeah, I think, again, when I was 19, I didn't have an awful lot, but I was trusting God. I think at 40, I've got some more things, but I don't want to take my gaze off Jesus. I don't want to say, I remember what it was like when you were saving and praying hard to get a car or whatever, or for you, it might have been something else. Or maybe you were saving and praying hard for a woman. You know, I did that too. And then the Lord gave me the girl of my dreams and so much more. And my kids, and I look at my kids and I think, I'm such a blessed guy, such a blessed man. But you know what's easy to do is to get complacent. And they go, oh yeah, I'm all good. My prayers aren't quite as desperate because I've got all the things I want. You know, everything's sort of fitted in into plan. And now maybe, yeah, I'm busy, but I've got everything. And I think the challenge for us 8 years in, and whatever you are as a Christian, we are as a body of believers here 8 years in, is that we don't get complacent and take our eyes off the prize, because Jesus is everything. It's how we got here. It's how we'll go forward. And my encouragement to all of us is, let him build you and let him build this place. You see, when you read the word house in Psalm 127, you think of maybe your physical house. You think of maybe your apartment that you rent. You think of your house that you rent. You think about your house that you're mortgaged on. Or you think about your house that hopefully, praise the Lord, you fully paid off, and what a blessing that would be. Or you think of a palace if you live in a palace or a castle or a hotel. But actually, when you look at this word in the Hebrew, it's used over 1,000 times in the Word of God, and it's used interchangeably between a physical building and this, me and you. And so God's saying, unless I build you, you'll build yourself in vain. Unless I build your life, you'll build your life with waste and emptiness. And suddenly when the attacks come and the troubles come and the issues come, you may not be as strong as you hope for that trial. But if I build you, it may be different than your ideas, maybe it may not fit into your plans, but if I build you, suddenly your life will be able to face every storm, because he's the good shepherd. He's my constant, like we sang earlier. He leads me into still waters. He causes me to rest. He gives me all that is required. He supplies all my needs, but I've got to let him build. And that's really hard, because we're all pretty powerful people. And I think this is the warning from Psalm 127. You can build, and you can probably build quite well. In fact, church, this would all run quite well, even without God. Could you believe that? But it just won't be the same. It just won't be the same without Jesus. It just won't be the same without him. And this is a story of our lives, and it's a story of your life. You can build quite well, but it just won't be the same as when you build with him. He's the master builder. And so point number one, good news, none of us have to be perfect. This is what I love. The NLT version, if you've read it before, says this in Psalm 127, the work of the builders is wasted if they do it themselves. Wasted. Doesn't use the word vain, probably because we don't tend to use that word in the context, but waste we understand. But if you try to do it in your own strength, it's a waste. I mean, imagine that. Every good thing that you could build into your life, whether it be good or bad in the eyes of you or the world, is actually waste if it's not God that's built it. Wow. Wow. Every effort, Every idea, every plan, it's all waste if it's not his. It's all waste if he hasn't led the build. If he hasn't been the one that's led the build, it will all be in waste. And so the good news is none of us have to be perfect because God is going to lead the way. And it makes me think about grace and mercy. And I think, church, we've got to remind ourselves afresh of the mercy of God. All of us deserved a whole lot of things, but the mercy of God prevented it. It's like you had a fine to pay. You had a problem. You had a sin problem, and you deserved death, but mercy stepped into the way 2,000 years ago. How good is that? And maybe this week, mercy stepped in. Jesus stepped in with his mercy, and he forgave you when you deserve something else. And then, because of his great mercy and his great love, he then offered you grace. Grace more than you can handle. Grace far above your imagination. This grace that says, wow, I can be just like Jesus. Imagine that for a moment. Our God didn't just come and die in our place and take away our sins, but he said, okay, now I want you to live the life you could never live. I want you to live like me. How? By the same power that I have, the Holy Spirit. This is the good news of God. You can try to be the builder of your life, but you were never designed to be, so why would you bother? Be the laborer and let him build. Let him be the one that leads your life, and you find your role hidden in Christ, right behind him, becoming more like him, because that's the way he's designed you, with his mercy and grace. How good is God? Romans 8:37, we're going to look at it together. Now, if you've never read Romans 8 before, or you haven't read it in a long time, you need to read Romans 8 because it will tell you that no matter what lie you believe, no matter what anybody else tells you, no matter what you feel and think any day, well, maybe I'll lose God's love, maybe this could happen, maybe that could happen, you will read that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And here's what it says in verse 37. Paul summarizes the whole thing. He goes, no, nothing can separate you. In fact, in all things, we are more than conquerors in him who loved us. Wow. God says that your identity is now in love, that he has built you in love, fashioned you in love. You were once fashioned in sin, now you're fashioned in love with mercy and grace and joy. And now you go forward as more than overcomers. This is ridiculous. Now, what does this mean in our everyday life? I don't know. This does not mean you should put a pound in every lottery ticket you can find because you're going to win. This does not mean that you should abuse and try everything out there. No, it simply says this, that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm victorious because nothing can separate me from God's love. Even if I go through the greatest health scare or challenge or reality that I've ever faced before, I will never escape his love. His love will cover me. If I go through the most horrendous season, if I go through a season where even my best friends turn on me, or maybe I'm the one who turns on them, his love will never leave me. I'm in his love. His love holds me. His love has me. This is the good news for every believer. If you're not a believer in Jesus, here's what I would do. I would believe. I would believe in Jesus because there's just nobody like him. You see, grace and mercy messes us all up because we think, well, I don't really deserve forgiveness. I don't really deserve this. We don't deserve anything, but because of his great love, he sent Jesus. We had a great friend who came last night, David. And if you were there at the men's, then you heard a powerful story. But he shared this story about his family at one point and how he was just going about their lives, living, I guess, some form of the dream. And then they find themselves involved in a car crash, in a car accident, and suddenly half his family passed away, his wife and daughter. And you say to yourself in that moment, what do you do with that? What do you do with something that chaotic, that destructive, that heartbreaking? How do you move forward? And you know what the Lord challenged him with one evening? And as he was just wandering in his house, walking in his house, he said, I was in a really dark place. The Lord says, I need you to praise me. Wow. Lord, Lord, come on, look what's happened. How can I praise you? And church, I want to help us into some greater truth. We don't praise God because of the things that's happening in our lives. We praise him because he's good. We praise him because he's wonderful in all his ways. We praise him even when we can't fully see the end from the beginning because we don't understand all things, but we praise him. And do you know what's happening in that moment to help us with today? Because who's going to build your life? In that moment, David was challenged. David, God's speaking to him. David, can I build your life or will you build your life? Lord, I need you to build my life. Okay, David, here's how you do it. You've got to bring me some praise today. You've got to give me something to work with. You've got to give me the building blocks of your life. You've got to give me the deep issues of your heart. You've got to give me the thing that's most costly. And in that moment, as David chose to give him the bricks of his life, he chose to give him his whole life. He chose to give up control and to go for surrender. In the midst of an incredible season, the Lord says, okay, now I can build. Now I can build. Now I can build. And the overriding message that David left with us last night that I want to give to your heart is no matter what gets done to you, no matter what's taken from you, no matter what happens in your life, no matter the circumstances, forgiveness is always a choice. And it's a choice worth saying yes to. He is good in everything. He is wonderful in everything. Point number two, God's building, we labor. Matthew 7:26. Do anybody remember the story of the wise builder and the unwise builder? And one built in the sand and the other one didn't build on the rock. This is the story. You maybe remembered as kids. Psalm 7:26 says this, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Wow. Here's what God's saying, is that life is pretty simple. Although it gets complicated, it's pretty simple. It's either with me or it's not. It's either let me build or you build. If I build, I build you on the rock. When the winds and waves come and life issues come, you will find yourself strong and secure and you will make it through. If you build yourself, you will be on the sand. You will survive for a season. You will make it for a time. But when the winds and waves come, you will crash. Now, what happens if you find yourself here? Good news, God's got grace. He wants to build you right back up again. Amen. But anybody that continues to do this over and over and over again, as the writer says, it's just foolish. So let's not be foolish. Let's be fools for Christ. Let's allow him to build. Let's allow him to take the lead. And no matter what would happen, we would say yes to him. See, many want to build their own lives and leave God out of it. And I thought about this. I thought about how subtle this is. You ever realize how sometimes you can use God like a discount code? In the last few weeks, maybe somehow, some way you've decided to buy something on the internet. Now what I've done is if I find something, I'm going, right, I want to find it the cheapest place possible on Google, and then I want to look for a discount code. And I feel like if I get a discount code, I'm getting a few pounds off, I feel like I'm winning. And I thought to myself, this is sometimes how we treat our life with God. It's like, God, I'm building, I'm building, I'm building. Oh, God, I'd really love some discount right now. I'd really love your help. Oh, yeah, okay, son, because I love you. Okay, son. And then I'm building, I'm building, I'm building. Lord, I'd really love a voucher. Have you got one? Yes, I do, son. Okay, here you go. And I just live my life from one voucher to the next. But in between times, I'm building, I'm building, I'm building. And God's going, when are you going to give up and let me take over? Like, when are you going to give up? Because do you want me as a voucher to get a tiny bit of discount, or do you want me to pay the whole thing? Like, do you want me to build the whole thing? Do you want me to take care of the whole thing? I remember Steve Parsons once said to me, a good friend of mine from Manchester, some of us know him, and he says, Darrell, here's what I discovered in my life. When I paid for all the bills, I was responsible. When I give it to God, he became responsible. And suddenly I realized, I go here, I go there, but God has full responsibility for my life. This is the way he's designed it. I build, you labor. Isn't he so generous? Because have you ever worked with someone that says to you, hey, just let me do it. Just let me do it. I do it way better than you. But the goodness of God is I'll work with you. Even though you're not unbelievably amazing, been around forever and know all things, I'll let you work with me. This is the goodness of God. Years ago, we had a hen house. Let me take you into the hen house. It felt a bit like this, warm, but more smelly. And we had 10,000 eggs. My sister would lift 5,000. I would lift 5,000. If we just went ourselves, we'd do it in 1 hour. We're out of there as quick as we could, run home, get out of those dirty clothes, and feel fresh. But if we allowed a good friend or two to come, it would take us about 3 or 4 hours because they're just getting the road, they're getting away. It's just, I couldn't do anything. Aren't you so glad that God doesn't act like that? Aren't you so glad that God doesn't go, hey, son, hey, daughter, get lost. I'm going to do this because you're making a rubbish job of your life. No, you know what he says? I love you. I've got grace for you. I've got love for you. I've got grace for you. I've got mercy for you. I've got forgiveness for you. I love you. I love you. I love you. But what he's really saying is, let me take the lead. Let's work together. You become the laborer. Have you ever been to the building site? One boy builds, girl builds, somebody labors. You need two to make it work. But one's taking the lead, one's the master builder, one is serving the master builder. This is the rule for our lives. Church, when we get it out of sync, we find ourselves going here, there, and everywhere. And then final point is this, we become exhausted. Ever find yourself becoming exhausted? Could it be that part of our exhaustion is because we're trying to build our lives so hard that it's taken up every energy and every bit of everything that we have? Could it be that our energy will be better served by saying to God, this job will not master me. Either, Lord, change my thinking or change my environment or get me a new job. Because, Lord, I don't want my whole life to be about this job. I want my life to be about you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he will do it. And most of the time, it's just in here needs to change. It's not your work environment. It's just in here. It's just priorities. It's just lifestyle choices. It's just like, I must have this because I got to look good and I'm comparing myself to everybody else. Stop doing it. You're unique. You don't need to be like anybody else. Just be you. Let the Lord build the house. Let the Lord build your mind. Let the Lord build your identity. Don't let it be built by anyone or anything else. Just him. Final verse before we go to worship. Psalm 46. Here's the best bit of advice I can give us today. The psalmist wrote, be still and know that I am God. Wow. Wow. Now, we've got to agree some things. When do we tend to activate this verse? When we really, 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 really need it. And there's just nothing left in us. And it's like, oh, Lord, I'm going to be still now because I can't do anything else. But you know when we should really activate this verse? Every single day. Every single day. Now, I looked up some stats just for fun. How many times do you think, on average, the studies have been done over the last 5-6 years, so they're fairly accurate, and of course you may be the exception, and then you can tell me later, I'm the exception, either higher or lower. But they did studies, and they said on average, the average person touches their phone over 3,000 times a day. 3,000 times a day. I mean, it's a love affair. Let's just say it like that. It is a love affair with your phone. And I understand some of us have to make phone calls for work. Maybe you gotta text me. I don't know. You gotta check the football. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. Emails, you know, money. I don't know. There's a whole lot of things you gotta do with your phone. But I tell you what, wouldn't it be crazy if God could just get you for a few moments and you could touch heaven and you could spend some time with him and you could be with him? Because I think here's what I find one of the biggest challenges. How do we be still in 2023? Like, if you've got wisdom on this, then come preach right now. How do we be still? This is the only thing I can work on, is that it's going to take incredible practice and dedication and the grace of God. Because everything is wanting us to move. Everything wants us to move. Like, you know it. Like, even if your phone's in your pocket, you just want to pick it out right now and look at it because you're just thinking, maybe I've got a notification. Like, you know if you're going to go into that secret place or you're going to go into that room that God has for you where it's just you and him, you're going to have to put your phone either off or in another room or get somebody else to take it and tell you, and don't let them tell you where it is. Because to be still is so incredibly hard. And yet, in 2023, I think this would answer a whole lot of our problems. I think in 2023, this would probably solve an awful lot of our issues if we would be still. Because here's the promise. Be still, and you would know me. Be still, and you would know God. If we know God, then guess what? He's going to start to build our lives differently. He's going to say, hey, remember that thing over there? You don't need it. Remember this thing? We should take it away. I'm going to build it like this. Will you trust me? If we could do that, I tell you what. Watch what the Lord is going to do in our hearts and lives. Guys, I'm going to get our band to come. We're going to finish out with a song. I want to give us one more thing as they're getting ready. There's just something about what the Lord is doing. There's just something that he wants to grab your attention with today when it comes to building. Maybe it's busyness. Maybe it's just other commitments. Maybe it's priorities. Maybe it's just, I can do it better. Can we just agree today? He's the master builder. He's kind of been around for a long time and he kind of knows some things. Come on. Like, he knows how to build your life. He knows how to bring transformation in your life. How does this work out every day? I think through a lot of trial and error. I don't think, here's the mistake that, I don't know, that we've been making for the last whatever many years you've been alive. You come to church on Sunday or you go to a good meeting and you say to yourself, that's it, tomorrow I'm changing. And tomorrow never comes. It's like Garth Brooks. It works for a day or two. And then it's like back to square one. I'm telling you, let's be real with ourselves. This is going to be harder than we think. But yet the word says, Romans chapter 8:37, I'm more than an overcomer. And I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The problem is we've figured out a way to do nothing with them. You know what I'm saying? We've figured out a way to do nothing really with them, even though we've got them. And here's my last point, is you got to check your house. You got to check your house. The Lord has built you way better than you realize. You've got rooms in you that you've not quite discovered yet. What if there's a secret door somewhere in you that would lead into a secret place that you could be with Him in ways that you cannot imagine? I think He's already built it. What if you go into a room today in your heart, in your life, in your house, and suddenly you discover, wow, who put that there? He did. I discover that sometimes at home, but I didn't realize Nikki put it there. I'm like, oh Lord, magic. Check the bell. No, it wasn't magic. Someone paid for it. Praise the Lord. But there are things that can appear in your house that you may not have put there, but the grace of God got them there, and you just have to suddenly open up and see them. And so today I want to encourage your heart. What are we missing that's already in our house? What are we missing that's already there? What are we not seeing that God's already put in place? So can we stand together? We're going to pray. I want you to check your house. I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about all that the Lord has done. Forget not my benefits, says the Lord. This is maybe harder than we realize. I want us to think of the promise that the psalmist wrote, that if you would be still, you would know God. And the better that I know Him, the more He'll build. The better that I'll know Him, the more He can build with me. And I want you to think of the story of David. Not David from the Bible, but our good friend David from Dublin, who lost everything. And yet the Lord said to him, would you praise me anyway? Would you praise me anyway? Would you praise me anyway? And eventually he says, okay, Lord, I'll let you build. See, sometimes the building blocks that we give God are the most precious ones that we have. Sometimes the building blocks that we give God are those grudges, those pains, those injustices that we've carried for lifetimes. Sometimes the building blocks that we give God are the most painful things that's happened in our lives. But I'm telling you this, if you continue to build with that pain, you will never build anything that will last. It will just be of waste. It will be in vain. It will be in vain. And I think the heart cry of the Lord is that, give it to me. And let me build something beautiful and new and fresh in your life. Let me take the ashes and exchange them for beauty. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Lord, I ask you today that, Lord, we had the fun thought of how many times that we touch our phone in the day. It could be thousands. But Lord, I pray that you would help us as we would go forward in this week to practice being still in the presence of God. Maybe it's just 2 minutes. Could be the hardest 2 minutes of our day, but suddenly it begins to grow. Maybe those initial few minutes are just so hard we can't focus on anything else. But again, the promise of the Father is if you would be still, you will know me. So you know breakthrough will come. Lord, I pray today for some of us, there are building blocks, there are things in our lives that we've just not allowed anybody else to touch because they're just too difficult. But Lord, I pray today, as hard as it would be, we would say yes to you, we would surrender, and we would allow you to build because you're the master builder. And so, Heavenly Father, will you come and touch every heart, every life? Lord, if we're far from you, come home to him. If you've never known him, say yes to him. We can pray together afterwards, or you simply believe today because the Bible says that anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved, Romans 10:13. And if we would confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, then our lives would be forever changed. And so, Lord, I ask you today that for anybody that needs you, that they would say yes, and suddenly something wonderful would take place, supernatural, where their lives would never be the same. Lord, for those that know you, those who have been walking with you for a while, it's easy to get to a place where I've got this, God. I've got this. I can take over now. I can do this thing. Lord, bring us to our knees afresh. Give us a glimpse again of the future. Let us know how much better it is with you and how much easier it is because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And if we've got anything else, then we've picked up the wrong thing. And so, Lord, today I ask you, you would give us a yoke that's easy and a burden that's light afresh. Jesus, bless every heart, bless every person. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, let's worship him.